All right, our next presenter is Dr. Mary Jo Trepka. She is an associate professor in the Department of Epidemiology, Robert Stempel College of Public Health and Social Work at Florida International University in Miami. Dr. Trepka received her MD from the University of Minnesota School of Medicine and an MSPH from the University of Colorado Health Sciences Center, where her interest in the epidemiology of HIV and other STDs began. She is a former Epidemic Intelligence Service Officer for the CDC and County Epidemiologist for Miami-Dade County, and she will speak to us today about racial disparities in AIDS survival in Florida, years 1993 through 2007.
Good afternoon. First of all, I'd like to acknowledge my co-investigators, Theophil Nyansenga, Lori Maddox, Spencer Lieb, Kalik Lutfi, and Elena Pavlova-McCullough. Let's see. I have no relationships to disclose regarding personal financial relationships related to this project. Okay, I'll try that. So, as you probably are aware, in the United States, we have significant racial ethnic disparities with regards to HIV and AIDS. In the year 2008, the incidence rate for HIV was 8.4 times higher among non-Hispanic blacks than non-Hispanic whites. And I'm going to use that term throughout this presentation because in Florida, many non-Hispanic blacks are actually originally from the Caribbean and consider themselves ethnically Caribbean as opposed to African American. The HIV incidence rate is also higher among Hispanics than it is non-Hispanic whites in the United States. With regards to the HIV mortality rate in 2008, it was even the disparity was even greater. It was 9.5 times higher among non-Hispanic blacks than non-Hispanic whites. Oops. So among people who were diagnosed with AIDS between 1987 to 2004, 66% of non-Hispanic blacks were alive 9 years after their AIDS diagnosis, compared to 75% of non-Hispanic whites. And HIV is the fifth leading cause of premature mortality among non-Hispanic blacks, as measured in years of potential life loss, compared with the 10th leading cause for the entire U.S. population. So we hypothesized that the disproportionate poverty that's affecting non-Hispanic blacks is related to the lower survival that we do observe. As we all know, poverty in the United States does disproportionately affect non-Hispanic blacks. And in three studies that have looked at survival from AIDS by race that were in settings where there was a relatively equivalent access to care, namely a Veterans Administration study, a military health study, and within an HMO, those studies found no racial disparities in AIDS survival, so not what we're seeing in the general public. So a possible mechanism is that poverty leads to either area poverty or individual poverty leads to barriers in accessing care, as well as barriers to adherence, which ties in with the previous presenter's results, and that these in turn lead to lower survival. We had two objectives: to describe the racial disparities in AIDS survival, which we define as the time from AIDS diagnosis to death in Florida since the widespread availability of highly active antiretroviral therapy, and to determine if these disparities decrease when we control for community-level socioeconomic status. This is a retrospective cohort study using secondary data from the Florida Department of Health's HIV/AIDS reporting system. We included people who met the AIDS case definition between 1983 and 2004. The Florida Department of Health ascertained mortality by linking their records with the Florida Vital Records, the Social Security Administrator's Death Master File, and the National Death Index. So we're pretty confident we captured all of the deaths within the United States. After they completed the linkages, they de-identified the records and sent them to us at Florida International University. And then we linked them with many measures of socioeconomic status, which we got from the 2000 U.S. Census. We did the linkage based on the zip code tabulation area. We excluded records with missing zip codes or if the there happened to be a prison or jail within that zip code, we created a poverty index and validated it. Our outcome was all-cause mortality. We generated Kaplan-Meier survival curves and did Cox proportional hazards modeling. So we, within the database, we started out with a little over 66,000 records, and lost about 10% of those due to either the missing zip code or because there was a prison or jail within that zip code. So I don't have time to go through all the baseline characteristics of the people within the study, but I do want to point out that about half of our sample was non-Hispanic Black, with non-Hispanic Whites, about 31%, Hispanic, 17%. Now, I did want to spend a little bit of time talking about the poverty of the neighborhoods where the people were living. So this, again, was their zip code at the time of diagnosis. We divided the neighborhoods by quartile with regard to the percentage of people within that zip code who were living in poverty. If we look in the most impoverished area, which is the top row there, you see that 76% of that group was non-Hispanic Black. And if you look at the bottom row, which is the most affluent area, then that group is dominated by non-Hispanic Whites at 56%. These are Kaplan-Meier survivor curves by race. The top two lines are Hispanics and non-Hispanic Whites, and then the bottom line is non-Hispanic Black. The x-axis is our months since AIDS diagnosis. So initially, within the first year or so, you don't see that big of a difference, but as time goes on, you see that the non-Hispanic Blacks are less likely to survive relative to the other two groups. And actually, when we look at the same data, but this time looking at a percentage of poverty within the zip code where the people were living at the time of diagnosis, it looks quite similar. The top line there is the most affluent area. The bottom line is the most impoverished area, with the other two right in the middle. So this slide shows a table of Cox proportional hazards ratios for non-Hispanic Black to non-Hispanic White, so just comparing the two groups. The first row is for males, the second row is for females. Within the male group and the female group, you'll see diagnosis cohorts. So we're people diagnosed from 1993 to 1995, which we call the pre-HART period. 1996 to 1998, when HART was becoming, use was becoming widespread, and then the time periods thereafter. The first column there, model one, is simply the crude hazards ratio for non-Hispanic Blacks to non-Hispanic Whites. And so you see that there's an the hazards ratio is elevated in all the cohorts for the males, but that it actually increases from the first cohort to the second cohort, indicating that the non-Hispanic Blacks were even more disadvantaged as HART was becoming more available, and then the disparity started to decline somewhat. If you look at the females, you see the same pattern, but it's not quite as extreme. Now, model two, the second column, is adjusting those hazards ratios for individual demographic variables, including mode of transmission and age, and then also CD4 count or percent. And so what we see for the males is that the hazards ratios decrease, although they still remain statistically significant. And then, but for the females, they don't really change at all. Then in the final column, we add area level poverty. And then we see that for the males, that the hazards ratios further decrease. And then in fact, for the last cohort, we no longer see the hazards ratios no longer statistically significant. For females, we also see that the hazards ratios decrease once you add area level poverty. And then for the last two cohorts, we no longer see a statistically significant hazards ratio. So this table shows the models, but this time not by cohort, but everybody's put together in this model. And then I show this. I want to show this so you can see all the different variables, and it's over two slides. So when you do everybody together, males and females together, and these are the adjusted hazards ratio. So everything is in the model. You do see that there's the hazards ratio is significant for non-Hispanic Black. and age and female sex and, of course, earlier year of diagnosis, and for being U.S. born as opposed to being foreign born, as well as injection drug use as the mode of transmission. And there's the rest of the model there. As not surprising, the lower the CD4 count, the larger the hazard. And also, the higher the level of poverty within the diagnosed, the zip code that the people were living, then the higher the hazard. And I also want you to take a look at the magnitude for the most deprived area. We have a hazards ratio for males of 1.22 and females of 1.3. And that, in fact, is greater than what we see for the non-Hispanic, for the rates for non-Hispanic blacks, for males and for females. Whoops. Okay, so we have several limitations. First of all, this is where we're using surveillance data, so we have very limited baseline clinical data, basically only the CD4 counts. We have a lot of measures from the U.S. Census, for example, unemployment and income levels, education levels, house ownership, value of housing. There's really quite a lot of variables, but no measures of things like neighborhood social capital or amenities that might be important. We have no measures of individual socioeconomic status. And also, zip codes are a relatively large geographic area. This is a problem, especially in the rural areas. In the large urban areas like Miami, it's less of a problem because actually there's quite a bit of segregation, socioeconomic segregation within the urban areas. So our conclusions are that we saw that the racial disparities in survival peaked during the early dissemination of HART, that area of poverty appears to play a role in these disparities even after adjusting for the individual variables that we did have, and that this adds to the knowledge about our adverse effects of poverty on health. And our recommendations are that there be multi-level studies where you include variables on individual poverty as opposed to just neighborhood poverty, which is not currently possible with the surveillance data. And that socioeconomic data should be collected in public health surveillance systems, or at least there should be some serious discussion about it, because there's a lot of interest in racial ethnic disparities, but when we don't have the data on socioeconomic status, I don't think we can really fully understand what's going on. And that we need policies to address disparities in access to antiretroviral medications and care. Currently in Florida, we have over 3,000 people who are on the ADAP waiting list, meaning those are people that aren't able to afford their medications, and the public system cannot meet the demand. And I'd like to hear my acknowledgments. I'd like to thank the National Institute on Minority Health and Health Disparities for supporting this project, and state that the content is solely my responsibility, and thank our two, Tristina Bush and Julia Fitz at the Florida Department of Health, for wading through thousands of National Death Index matches. Any questions? Yeah, well, what we were interested in was the poverty of the socioeconomic status of people's residence, and because the census doesn't represent what's going on within the prisons, and in Florida we have a lot of these rural prisons, and within that zip code there's just nothing but the prison. And so we thought we really wouldn't be understanding what's going on with regard to the socioeconomic status of a community. It would just be muddying up the picture. So what's one of the limitations of our project? We can't say anything about people who are incarcerated. And also we can't say anything about people who are homeless, because those are people who are likely to have missing zip codes. And you saw we have quite a few of those, close to 5% with missing zip codes. Yeah. Why? Because we wanted at least 3 years of follow-up, and because we were using the National Death Index, the data was only available as up to 2007. I understand now they have up to 2008, so we could do another match, but that's the problem. How?
When do you have AIDS reporting?
For AIDS?
For HIV.
Okay, well, we only used AIDS data, but HIV, yeah, HIV goes back to, oh boy, was it 98, I think? It's been for a while, but I've talked with the people in the surveillance division at the Bureau of HIV AIDS in Tallahassee, and they're very wary about that surveillance system in terms of analyzing it, and the problem is that somebody could have been diagnosed a long time ago with HIV, and then they don't suddenly get into the HIV surveillance system because they happen to have a lab level that was drawn. So I guess I was, you know, I wanted HIV, I'm interested in new onset HIV, and they're not confident that the people in the HIV surveillance system, the year that they got into the system was necessarily the year that they were diagnosed with HIV. So there's a problem with that data. At least with the AIDS, I know when they met the AIDS diagnosis. I wish we could do the same thing for HIV, but we can't right now. Yes, yeah, you can actually. The problem is I just don't have the data because I don't have individual level. Well, you know, you could do census tract. I mean, you could do different levels of geography, then get it smaller. But I didn't have access to the data, and there's, you know, the security issues, and the zip code was, we weren't allowed to get the address of the people. You need the address to geocode them, because the zip code is in the data set, but the specific address would have to be geocoded, and the Department of Health didn't have those types of wasn't able to do that, and I wasn't able to get that data because I'm not within the Department of Health. Yeah. But it would be good to do.
Time for one more question. Wow, I timed that perfectly.
Yeah. What proportion of the zip codes, like regardless of the number of folks in the sample, this was Miami City?
No, this is the whole state of Florida.
Right, Florida State.
Yeah. Well, see, I did it by quartiles. So a quarter of them had 26% of the quartiles for all the records. So a quarter of the people were living in a zip code where 26% of the population was living under the poverty line.
Oh, you created your own definition.
Quartiles. Uh-huh. Yeah. We looked at that too, but we decided to go this way because so the models wouldn't work out better. Yeah.
Thank you very much.